Well, this is the hour we'll take your phone calls with Craig Hewlett, so get ready on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back to Coast, Craig Hewlett with us. We're going to go to your calls in a second as well. Craig, they love you here at Coast to Coast. Every line is lit. You do that all the time.
Interesting. or scary, I'm not sure. To be honest with you, it has been my interviews on your show. We're selling at least a book a day right now. The Hydra, we've only got probably 300 left, but we're selling one book almost every single day. We haven't had that kind of an effect, I would say, in a decade.
That's great. And the name of the book is The Hydra of Carnage.
Yes. And, of course, Imperial War Making and the Rule of Law.
Are you going to print them anymore if you sell out?
I've got a guy editing my new book. It's about 300 pages on corporatism, and I'll probably publish that rather than reprinting the Hydra. I don't know. But you know what? Like I said, I went back and re-looked at it, and I realized that the things that I wrote back then were a great deal of speculation on my part based on fact, not predictions. But I looked at what I was dealing with when I was working for Congressman Metcalf and what he had me research. And the speeches I wrote were on always those kinds of topics. And I'm amazed that Jack Metcalf actually would hire someone like me. Because what I was saying at the time was pretty aggressive in the face of corporatism.
Right.
Which back then, you didn't.
That was a no-no. You didn't do that.
No. And now it's like I said, after almost 35 years of doing this in the media, and that particular book caused a lot of grief for a lot of people. I got a lot of hate mail from it. But at the same time, right now, I don't have any enemies any longer.
Well,
but
people,
here, listen to this. I found this, I thought it was important to say this to the American people, okay? I don't hate Democrats or Republicans, okay? I just don't believe either party is healthy for America without a third, fourth, fifth party. A two-party system is a construct to guarantee the continuity of government, whether a Republican or a Democrat is in power, the continuity from president to president, Congress to Congress. The government, the system, the oligarchy never loses. It just continues.
That's
no
right.
Matter who's
it,
in the White
It flip-flops
House.
Between well, one to the other.
He's the head of the U.S. Chamber of Commerce, and he's always been a supporter of all these trade agreements, and the ones that take jobs overseas. He said he's not even worried about Clinton getting in the way of any of the trade deals. He said he knows that if she's elected, she'll flip back and support it.
Yeah. And what happens to Obamacare if she gets elected? She going to keep it, modify it?
I don't know. I honestly don't know. That would be, again, you can't circumvent Congress, and Congress, in my opinion, does not represent the electorate to put them in office. You voting for a congressman and senator is a moot point, because they're there like civilian contractors, like Blackwater. They're like mercenaries.
Yes.
They work for the corporations that put them in power. And they do. We know this is a fact, because every congressman and senator that does lose office becomes a lobbyist for one of the corporations or a trade association. Like clockwork. There's more congressmen and senators as lobbyists than we've actually ever had as congressmen and senators holding office.
Do you think the power brokers are in shock that Jeb Bush did not show us anywhere close to what Trump has done?
The two papers that I posted may be a little boring for some people, but I try to analyze the reason why Jeb Bush, the mistakes were made. The oligarchy that wanted Jeb Bush have a blind spot about the American people. They've been in power for so long. I mean, David Rockefeller and Henry Kissinger are, what, 112 years old now? these guys never go away. Kissinger is right now in Russia negotiating with Putin.
For who?
Nobody knows. That's the point. What is Henry Kissinger doing that Obama's not doing and Hillary won't do and Trump can't do?
And then he comes back and says, hey, we've got this deal.
Right.
Implement it. Wow.
So, I think the American people have to understand that we've already lost the sovereignty of the nation to a global corporate regime of government. It's a governing bodies. The World Trade Organization makes it legal for China to come here and buy the Chicago stock market. They make it legal for Saudi Arabia to come and buy up farmland throughout our entire nation.
Yeah.
And all they're going to do is drain it of the water and ship the water back to Saudi Arabia.
In big oil-type trucks.
Exactly.
I mean, tankers.
So the American people have no idea that the New World Order that you heard about since George Bush Sr. mentioned it, it's already here. You're not waiting for anything. There's not going to be a dictator at the United Nations running it. They've already got the global regime. It is a regime.
All right, let's
in existence that has usurped our national sovereignty. And there's only one group to blame. Congress.
Yep. Let's go to the calls for you. Let's go to Nantucket, Massachusetts. Rick is there to get things started. Hi, Rick. Good morning.
Hey, good evening, guys.
Hi.
Hey, one thing that has always confused me are definitions and terms. Like, if you really think about the way definitions and terms are pitched to us by our Congress people and the system and things, they'll tell us that on the left is communism, and on the far right is fascism, and then democracy is in the center. Now, if you really think about this, a spectrum really should be collectivism on the left, which is all of the different variants, that being communism, fascism, etc. Then in the center would be democracy. And then far to the right, just before the end of that spectrum, would be a constitutional republic. And then finally ending up just short of that, anarchy. And I think that's where we get into trouble, is when they tell us that right wing is fascism, which is just a variant of collectivism.
Well, fascism is an economic term, and it should be used as such. Corporatism, by its very name, Corporazzoni was the Italian name for it, and that was Italian fascism. American corporatism is, in fact, fascism. We call it corporatism because nobody wants to confuse the American people that fascism doesn't mean Nazism. They prefer it that way because then you never will look at your own governance, your own Congress, Senate, and the corporations that rule our country as actually being a fascist regime. They can't have you understanding that.
Craig, the socialist, Bernie Sanders, who's a Democrat now, does he have a chance?
Well, no, he doesn't, because the Democratic Party is set up differently than the Republican Party. That's what I was getting at when I said I decided to post two files for people to read to understand. The Democratic Party changed the way the electoral system works. The Republican Party did something different. But in the Democratic Party, Bernie Sanders can win by 38-40%. He can win the votes every time. But the delegates have the freedom to go with Hillary, and they obey their masters.
Ah, okay. So now, the Republicans are different.
How many votes and how popular Bernie is, he won't win the delegates. That's already guaranteed to Hillary.
They made
the system that way on purpose.
I've had people call my show regarding the Republican end, saying that they've got some kind of new rule where you need 51% of 8 states in the primaries. What is that? Have you heard about that?
No. If you look at, go ahead and, if anybody is interested in trying to weed through the gobbledygook, the language of
right.
The Republican Party system does work differently. And that's actually, I have a feeling, had more to do with getting rid of Jeb Bush than my efforts, certainly. I don't think I had even a 1% push to expose Jeb Bush to being driven out. Like you said, he hasn't gone anywhere either.
No.
So, if we have a three-way split between Ruby. Oh, by the way, do you remember what happened to Ronald Reagan?
Does
anybody even remember? Ronald Reagan was a very popular president, won absolutely hands down.
Right.
And who hated him the most during that campaign?
Who? Tell me.
George Bush Sr.
Really?
Voodoo economics. George Bush Sr. trashed Reagan at every turn. And Reagan really never liked George Bush, period.
And then became his vice president.
Because Henry Kissinger, David Rockefeller, the elite, were at the hotel at the convention, and they told Reagan, guess what, brother? This is how our world works. You will take George Bush Sr. as your vice president.
What if he said no?
He couldn't. And I don't know what the level of threat they're capable of, but if you think...
Would they?
I think they have the ability to demonstrate to you that the world is very different inside the Beltway than the American people have any idea. And I don't think anybody except a George Bush Sr., who already was an oligarch and an elite CIA director, Zapata Oil, he was our Brown Brothers Harriman. The family was already rich and powerful as an elite oligarchy. And so he's the only one I think didn't get an eye-awakening moment when he walked into the White House.
Politics.
But Ronald Reagan certainly did.
Strange bedfellows.
Donald Trump will as well.
San Pedro, California, Christian's turn on Coast to Coast. Hey, Christian, go ahead.
Hey, George, and God, I can't believe I got on. I just want to say that, I'm just so excited. I just had a brain fart right now. I'm talking to the guest.
You've got the guest, Craig Hewlett's with us.
Craig. Listen, Craig, I've been listening to your radio on your website, your radio other radio appearances for a long time. I woke up to you, brother, and I want to say thank you for letting me see the light to how the world really works and is run. I wanted to put my 5 cents into the conversation tonight. First of all, I'm 41 years old. I'm unemployed, on food stamps and unemployment benefits. The only work that I can find is part-time, and I'm sure that with a lot of the callers who've been calling into your show in recent weeks have been very young and saying pretty much the same thing. I listened to the Republican convention this evening, and I decided that pretty much I'm going to go with Trump. But with so much with what Craig Hewlett has said, essentially with this one-world government oligarchy and decisions, you know, essentially Congress already being bought, and theoretically, the president is not elected. He is, in quotes, selected. Why should we bother voting in June here? Because I'm in California, because we have something in June coming up and the November election.
You've got a huge primary coming up.
Why should we bother voting if the decision essentially has already been decided? And also, there's something that Craig and I do, which is something a lot of young people don't do anymore. We actually read books. And there are two books. Two books that I'm reading right now. I wanted to get Craig's opinion on Bloody Treason by Noel Fleiman. What does he think about that? And I'm also thinking of getting Webster Griffin's Tarpley's book, The Unauthorized Biography of George Bush.
And Webster's been on the program quite a lot before that. But go ahead. I'll let you react to his thoughts on why vote.
Well, I think that's the reason Jeb Bush had to leave. He had to go really far away because they were voting, and they weren't voting for him. So it does matter. That's the one thing the oligarchy could never count on. And they really did count on it this time.
I would have thought they would have tried to get those electronic voting machines in everything they could do. They would have tried to.
Well, the mistake they made, if you look at the documents I posted, one of the mistakes they'd made is the four primaries that come up first are selected for a reason. That's so the states that are very small population or an almost entirely minority state like South Carolina, those four states were selected to have the vote first, because if it went to Texas, Florida, New York, and California first, there's not even a point of being in New Hampshire voting then. So this was to give those four states
a feeling like they're doing something.
Exactly. Yeah. They're allowing them to actually participate, and their vote mattered. That's where I think Karl Rove, and I love saying this, I think Karl Rove's screwed up. And he doesn't make mistakes, that guy. He's deadly dangerous, Karl Rove is.
Well, then.
But he was wrong, because in those four states, if Jeb Bush had not come out for the presidency until after those four primaries, this would have been a whole different horse race.
You think so?
Yes.
Because he wouldn't have been looked at as a loser.
Exactly. The first four primaries, that they looked at him and just go, I don't think so. I don't know. Maybe they heard Bush's name too many times. But again, I'll repeat. I've been saying this.
See,
the oligarchy chose Jeb Bush when his brother was still in the White House.
Yeah.
And I was saying, we can't have that.
I think Jeb thought he was a shoo-in.
He did.
Yeah.
He did.
He's got to be in shock.
One of their miscalculations were is he shouldn't have even jumped in the race until after those four states.
Now, is he through? Let's assume Hillary wins. Does Jeb Bush pop up in 4 years?
Well, if they were going to do that, why wouldn't they go to Donald Trump and say, Donald, do you really want to be president? Because, you know, when you're president, you can get hurt really, really bad. And maybe you'll be better off if you have Jeb Bush as your vice president.
No, that's an interesting twist.
That's what they did to Reagan.
That is an interesting twist.
I hope not, but...
I have not heard Donald Trump talk about a VP candidate with him yet.
No, and I think he's going to have... You know why I think I'd like to see Donald Trump win?
How come?
Chaos. I love
that. You think we need more chaos?
A Nietzschean kind of chaos, where you look at America and the limbs of America's trees are all withered. And Nietzsche would say, it's time to kick it off.
Well, it would be a point where I would say, I hope to God the country runs itself. It is strong enough to get through this.
But Trump is not going to achieve anything that he says he is. And I think when the oligarchy sits him down and they say, Donald, this is the real world, I think you'll see Donald Trump betray you. Just the way Obama betrayed the Democrats and the liberals.
Let's
and
go
the
to
minorities.
Well.
You know, I do an almost all, it used to be an all-black radio station in Washington, D.C.
Uh-huh.
I'm a regular every month with him, and we've been doing shows for a long time. And don't ever think the black population is ignorant.
Of course not.
That's brilliant, and they do think for themselves. To a man, and almost to a woman, but to a man, every one of them knows exactly what Obama was from day one. They knew he was a liar. They knew that they would be betrayed. They knew it, and they admit it. They speak to it openly. So, you know, are we going to get the same treatment with
Trump?
Trump. I think he will betray the American people.
You really do?
Yes, I do.
Well, that's disappointing.
Because in the end, he doesn't have any power. He just has money.
I still think it's a long way to the nomination.
It's a very long way, and the Bush family's not done yet. And neither is Karl Rove, by the way. Karl Rove is orchestrating the Republican attacks on Trump.
Isn't this unprecedented where you would see someone so far ahead because people are fed up? And this is what's happening. It's not just against Donald Trump.
No,
the establishment is against us.
It's against us. It's a Jacksonian kind of populist revival, and America does this periodically. We did it with Ross Perot. Everybody believed him, except me. I told everybody he doesn't want to be president. He just wants to make sure George Bush doesn't win.
Yeah, exactly.
And he did. He quit, and he disappointed the mass of people that thought he was for real. Well, I think you're going to find out that Trump isn't for real either. But I don't care.
But he's not going to quit.
He's not going to quit. And I think if he gets elected, I think it'll be a hoot to watch people he wants as Secretary of Defense go, I don't want to be Secretary of Defense under you.
That's going to be an interesting twist, his cabinet. Stay with us. We're going to come back and take final phone calls in just a moment on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back, Craig Hewlett with us. Those voices of that commercial, Craig, they sound just like them, don't they? Unbelievable. So what?
By the way, you do play some of the best music in talk radio. Carl Nelson, and you play the best music.
Well, thank you. Appreciate it. Well,
I got to tell you, cool. After the one I just heard that you were playing,
yeah.
You know, I don't know. Rihanna's latest album, the latest song was, I believe the title is, Where's My Money, Bitch?
Okay, we can't say that here, but that's okay. So, hey, there's nothing like Diana Ross. She's the best. She's the best. So let's go to the calls. Let's go to Anna in San Diego. Anna, welcome to the program. Go ahead.
Hi.
Hey,
I wanted to tell Greg that Condoleezza Rice and Colin Powell came on the TV and said that they had confidential material sent to their private email. How come nobody is talking about it? And I'm not for Hillary, but fair is fair. And why doesn't anybody talk? They are not under scrutiny like Hillary is. How come not?
Well, that's probably because she's running for the highest office in the land.
That's the main reason. Probably the only reason.
The only reason.
Absolutely.
Now, there's a lot of wrongdoing out there. And when you're running for office, even in congressional races, in every state, even in state elections, that's where the dirt comes out and is used against people. Like I said, John Edwards would have been a great candidate for the Democratic Party, but Wall Street feared him and took him out for having an affair.
Okay, now let me ask you this. This controversy over her emails.
It's not going to go anywhere.
What did she do wrong?
Well, what she did wrong is she created a private server to put all of her State Department emails and traffic. Every communication was on a private server that could have been hacked. It wasn't, as far as I know. But at the same time, she was handling top secret, security cleared documents about foreign countries, the wars, Libya, and she was sharing them with people that were not authorized. And, you know, that is something that, you know, it's amazing that she set it up. But you know what? I think we're missing something about Hillary and Trump. I think Donald Trump is running for just about the same reason Bruce Jenner did what he did. I think when he lost his TV show and he no longer wants to build high-rises and casinos.
You think he's bored?
I think he's a narcissist, and he cannot stand not being in the public eye.
Well, this has done it, and he's getting it.
Exactly. I think he's acting no differently than Bruce Jenner. And I told Carl one time on his show that if Craig Hewlett ever doesn't become popular and I need more attention, if I need people to pay attention to me, I'm going to come out publicly and tell everybody that I'm a black woman and my name is Tulip. Tulip Hewlett.
Tulip Hewlett. I like that.
Yeah.
It's got a little ring to it. Well, what if in midstream he decides he's bored again?
Well,
I
think the man is a narcissist, and if you don't really understand what that means, I think Hillary is also a narcissist. And those types of people, you know, they are some of the most dangerous people because, they're very sensitive to criticism.
Oh, huge. I mean, he's threatened to sue reporters who chastise him.
Yeah, he cannot tolerate criticism. And he is no statesman. When he says, I'm a deal maker, well, I got news for it. You're going to start wondering, when you see Donald Trump in action, if he were to become president, I'm just going to say it, okay? You're going to look back on George Bush Sr. and go, my God.
I miss
what
it.
What a statesman he was.
Yeah. No, you're right. You are. I remember when we were into Barack Obama's second term, early into it, there was a billboard put up with George Bush's face, and it says, miss me yet?
Well, that was another narcissist.
Now, I never would have thought anybody after the Bush 8-year run would have said, I miss the guy. But it was interesting because people started talking about that.
But see, that criminal enterprise that was operating the White House under George Bush Jr., and it was a criminal enterprise. Everything they did was a violation of the law in one way or another. And it took this country on the path of a globalized corporate regime that completely is wiping out America's sovereignty. And they knew exactly what they were doing. And I don't believe Donald Trump can change that. I don't believe any single man.
No, they can't. They can't. They can spout it. They can talk about it, but they can't change it.
They can't stop it. They can't turn it around. You can't force the Congress to come under your executive decree. That's a violation of the law. The Supreme Court's going to get in the way. But the other thing is, think about it. We are on the brink of World War III with Russia in the Middle East. The Ukraine is collapsing. Obama just sent troops to Cameroon and built another drone base in Cameroon. If you look at the map, you'll understand why. So he could project military force north, south, east, and west into every country in the region. And the American people have no idea this is going on. The 82nd Airborne is going back to Iraq right under your nose. Have you heard that?
Yes, I did.
Well,
absolutely.
We've got a problem.
Yep. How do you feel about the fact that none of these candidates has any military experience?
Yeah, Donald Trump's the draft dodger. So, you know, but so was George Bush Jr. Is that going to stick? Is the fact, who is his lawyer? Who's Donald Trump's lawyer for in his entire business career in New York and New Jersey? Who was his lawyer?
I don't know who his lawyer is. Who is he?
I'm gonna wait and see if one of your callers knows.
All right. Let's go to Michael in Long Island, New York. Michael, welcome to the program. Go ahead.
Good morning, George, and hello, Mr. Hewlett.
Hello.
My question is this. You know, Henry Kissinger is advising Vladimir Putin. Is it possible he's preparing him to become the first leader of the corporate world order?
No, there's no single leader. That's the beauty of the corporate regime that I've described. It's a regime. You know, the word regime isn't just a political term. It's a descriptive term. Like if 40 women get together as a sewing circle, you could call that a sewing regime. This corporate regime is already global. And the key to its survival is the fact that there is no single leader calling the shots. It's like a boardroom, and they've dispersed their power throughout the entire globe. You take out the IMF, the World Bank steps in. You can't touch UNICEF. You can't touch the UN. Nothing can be taken down by the people themselves. The people are the losers of this, and our government, and our corporations are the ones behind it. There's no question. This is not just the Western regime. This is an American corporate-led regime. And that's why U.S. jobs are going overseas. They look at America, and they don't see a sovereign nation state. They're the new sovereigns.
So one of Donald Trump's...
is an example of the new sovereigns. He runs. He rules. He decides. He negotiates. If he rules, negotiates, and decides... he's the sovereign, by definition.
One of his lawyers is named Michael Cohen. Is that the one you're talking about?
Yeah, Roy Cohn. Roy Cohn.
He's related to him?
Joe McCarthy. His lawyer was, for over 20 years in New York, Roy Cohn. In fact, he...
it was him? The Roy Cohn?
At the foot of Roy Cohn.
During the McCarthy era?
Yes, that Roy Cohn.
Jeez.
The godfather of lawyers to organized crime and racketeering. He represented every thug you could think of, including people like Ronald Reagan and the Bush family.
Oh, yeah. He was the attorney to everybody.
He was called by Esquire magazine a hitman, not a lawyer.
Mike in Cleveland, welcome to the show. Go ahead, Mike.
Hey, good morning, George. Good morning, Craig. You're my favorite guest on the show.
We do get a great response with you, Mr. Hewlett, that's for sure. Go ahead, Michael.
And, Craig, I've got a theory, long theory, deals internationally and domestically. I know that the American corporate regime has had control of the nuclear arsenal technologically since about 95, you know, indirectly with SAC since, you know, before that. But I think they're concerned about Korea because they can't control them. And China says, well, we got them under our belt, don't worry about it. But I think they might pull something like pulling EMP on the United States, blame Korea, gets us into war. Now, you hit the nail on the head when you, well, you did say that Karl Rove made a mistake, but I don't think so. And then George hit the nail on the head when he said, well, maybe Jeb Bush wants to be vice president. And that's exactly it, because when he becomes vice president, he's going to control the Congress when they want to stomp on all our rights, because they're already going to have Donald Trump in there controlling him. It's a long theory, but I just want to hear your response on it, and I'll take my answer off here.
Well, I'm the one that brought up Jeb Bush being the vice president because they've done it before, and I don't think the Bush family are happy at all the way this turned out because Karl Rove did screw up. I can't believe he let Jeb Bush out of the bottle so soon to face those four small state primaries where he would be the most vulnerable. Plus, he's the most vulnerable when there's a dozen people in the race. When there's only three people in the race or two, it favors Hillary Clinton because there's only two. But it doesn't favor somebody like Jeb Bush if there's eight or ten people in the race. If you'd have held him back until Tuesday, Super Tuesday, it could be a whole different
ballgame. That's a pretty interesting possibility, an idea there, Craig, for sure. Let's look at some of the VP picks and see if there was an adversarial relationship. Kennedy hated Johnson.
Absolutely.
Yet who told Kennedy? Maybe his dad did.
Maybe his dad did, but he needed Texas to win. He was up against Nixon. This whole ball game is different. Reagan did not need George Bush, but people don't understand. We were still in a Cold War. We were just beginning the drug war. And CIA Director George Bush and lifelong CIA operative George Bush Sr. and Brown Brothers Harriman were far, far and above the most important oligarch corporate leaders in America at the time. But the American people didn't know it.
They didn't know that at all. At all. I'm sure they did not know that the Bush's grandfather, Prescott, was involved with financing Hitler.
That's correct. He was indicted by the Treasury Department. Read the book Trading with the Enemy by Hyman. Trading with the Enemy.
All right. Vicki in Blaine, Minnesota, first-time caller for us. Hi, Vicki.
Hi.
Thanks for holding.
I have two questions now, listening to the last caller. The first one was, what's the oligarchy versus the Illuminati?
It's the same. It's the same.
It is?
Yeah.
That's creepy. And then the other one is North Korea is probably threatening China with bombs, so China has to deliver to them. And that's probably why they're in the China Sea to get closer to North Korea. I think we all got it wrong.
Well, that's an interesting take. I would not agree with that, and Craig, I doubt if you would too.
No, I think what China is used. I think China actually is being very pragmatic and intelligent about using North Korea as a threat. You know, China doesn't want to threaten Japan. They don't want to threaten directly the American power that's being created in the China Sea area and over the islands in the region. So they allow, let's put it that way, they allow Korea to do the dirty work and then tell us, you know, don't worry about it. We've got control of it. But the fact is, you'd never have control of a crazy dictator who's born and bred to hate his own people, South Korea.
Yeah.
You can't control a man like that. But would they ever be able to get past our ability? The global surveillance system of the NSA, we're not really a threat. We're not getting threatened by North Korea. I think Japan might be, but not us. I don't think any country in the world can test America on our own soil. But our military has never been weaker. Yet, we're expanding wars throughout North Africa now, Syria, the Ukraine. We're sending troops again back into Iraq. And one day, we're going to be facing Russian soldiers. And do you want Donald Trump in the White House or Hillary Clinton? I don't want either one of them. But if I have to live with anarchy under Trump, I think the country might actually survive it better. Because one thing's not going to happen this year because of Trump. They can't let the economy slip.
No, they can't.
They cannot. That would drive him into the White House even faster.
Yeah, that's a good point. Vicki, thanks for your call. Appreciate it. Let's take a few more calls here, and we're out of time. Let's go to Adrian in Grand Rapids, Michigan. Hello, Adrian. Go ahead.
Hello. Thank you so much for taking my call.
Sure thing.
Craig, it's almost a relief to hear someone so confined by logic, but you're right. These are scary times. It's not even spring yet, and the intensity is just way too
it's
much.
It's huge.
Like. I shudder to think of how it's going to be when it gets hot.
And it'll be hot in a few months, too. We're close.
Oh, it's getting hot.
Here we go.
My question is, it's a kind of a crapshoot either way, but I've read a lot of interviews and threads over the years about Hillary Clinton and the presidential details and the Secret Service members and how she can be one of the worst people, if not the worst, to detail. And would that not automatically compromise us, especially since they're already having issues at the White House?
It's true. Secret Service has come out and said that she's the worst person ever to live in the White House. She hates people so much. Her hatred for the American people is so high that she demanded that the workers, whether they're minorities or white, whether they're cooks or Secret Service, if she's walking down the hall, she told them they had to step behind a curtain or go into a different room. She didn't want to even see them.
What? You couldn't walk past her?
You couldn't walk past her, no.
What if you were throwing rose petals at her
feet? Oh, then probably yes.
That would be okay.
That's what I mean by she's a clear mentally ill narcissist. If you can't see the narcissism and understand that we're talking about malignant narcissism, if you can't see that in Hillary Clinton, then you've somehow missed life experience. Because it is obvious to anybody that's ever been around here, and I can see it every time she gives a speech.
When are we going to get a beer, kid? When are you coming up to L.A.?
You know what? I sit behind this computer, and all I do is play with seven chows and six cats.
You know, you ever get up here, let me know, okay?
Will do.
Craig Hewlett, and when that new book is ready, we'll be all over it with you. In a moment, we're going to take a little walk on the paranormal side for you. UFO Forensic Files, Wilbur Allen standing by. We're going to talk about wormholes and how did they get here and what do they mean and all kinds of good things right here on Coast to Coast Dave. And don't forget to like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter.